Blog Talk Radio.
Grandma's hands clapped in church on Sunday morning. Grandma's hands played a tambourine so well. Grandma's hands used to issue out a warning. She'd say, Billy, don't you run so fast. Might fall on a piece of glass. Might be snakes there in that grass. Grandma's hands. Local unwed mother. Grandma's hand used to ache sometimes and swell. Grandma's hand used to lift her face and tell her, she'd say, baby, grandma, understand that you really love that man. Put yourself in Jesus' hands. Grandma's hand. Hand me piece of candy. Grandma's hand pick me up each time I fell. Grandma's hand, boy, they really came in a handy. She'd say, Matty, don't you whip that boy. What you wanna spank him for? He didn't drop no apple core. But I don't have grandma anymore. If I get to heaven, I'll look for grandma.
Good evening, that's Bill Withers, Grandma's Hand. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson, right here at Bring Your Sexy Back, where we're here every Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. This evening's topic is maybe a little controversial one, but I just thought to address it because of all the different things that are going on the media with the, you know, the parents and the children, and, you know, it's crazy. Okay, how's everybody's day? Mine was beautiful. It was freezing here today, but still was a beautiful day because I woke up in it, and for those who didn't wake up in it, well, you know, hope Lord has mercy on their souls. And I'm going to bring in my two beautiful co-hosts. Good evening, Rhea. Good evening, Terry.
Good evening, Gail.
How you ladies doing?
Oh, just doing good. You know, that intro by Bill Withers brought tears to my eyes just thinking about both of my grandmothers. Just a beautiful, beautiful relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a beautiful song, too. And I played it simply for this evening's topic, you know, because I'm just seeing a lot, and I'm quite sure you ladies are viewing some of the things maybe that I've seen, or maybe you've seen some things that I didn't see, you know, opposed to how this parenting thing is getting out of hand as far as I'm concerned, because, you know, the things that are going on the Internet as far as, like, when the father had beat his daughters on the Internet for twerking on the Internet, and this guy was beat up by his father for disrespecting the mother, you know, just all these different things, and the woman who's going to school to try to embarrass her child back into reality or whatever, then the one where the little girl, this little girl didn't appear to be no more than, I would give her if 13, and her mom had her on the Internet, you know, explaining why, you know, what did she do, and she says she accidentally gave oral sex to somebody, but that's not how she worded it. But, you know, and putting that on the Internet, that's not good at all. You know, even if you're thinking that it's the right thing to do, I'm going to punish her. I'm going to put this out on the social media so everybody can see it. Now, just think, and the girl's face was shown and everything, and I'm quite sure, you know, maybe her little friends are on Facebook or, you know, may have went to her page and, you know, saw that. And, you know, it would take something away from her self-esteem. She's already you know, been embarrassed, you know, because she had to tell her mom what she had did. And then by her being so young, I don't know, you know, what makes these kids go out and do the things that they do, you know, and it's just, it's horrible. So I'm just, you know, having this show, you know, and hopefully, you know, some of the parents may even be listening in. Now, I'm not saying that everything is, you know, because I saw a couple of amusing things that parents had done as far as like when their children were on their advertising, I drink, I do this, and the mom makes them hold up a sign saying I'll be, you know, off of the social media for a minute because I was being disrespectful, you know, things like that. But my thing is, some of these children really need to be monitored a little closer than what they are, because if you come home from work and your child is up in their room with a computer, the door is shut and locked, and they're on the internet, you know, something is going on. So I really think that first it begins with the parents. You know, because we have the control over our children. And, you know, you don't let your child tell you what to do. You tell your children what to do. You know, because if I, when my children were coming up, they didn't have the social medias and, you know, the cell phones and, you know, all this stuff that they have now. You know, so I really didn't have that to worry about. And even if they did have it, you know, things that, how I discipline my children, I would never, ever put it on the internet. I mean, for what? Mm-mm, what is the purpose of that? Mm-mm. You know, what
well,
is the purpose?
I think it has a foundation when it comes to some children. Like you said, it depends on what they did.
Right.
If my child was posting things on the internet that was inappropriate, I could see myself disciplining that child that same way.
Mm-hmm.
By putting up that, for example, I don't know that I would necessarily give her age, but she would have to put something out there that said, I lied about who I was. I am an I'm a child, or something like that. I would definitely do something of that nature.
Right, well, that's
understandable. I do not agree with some of the things, the physical things that I have been seeing on the internet, but I don't agree with them even outside of the internet. Like when the father whipped those two girls,
mm-hmm.
his ass should have got beat down because he was out of order.
Right.
He was completely out of order. That man was swinging that damn belt with all that 200 and something he had on him, behind him, when he was hitting those girls. And when they get to be certain ages, that man shouldn't be putting his hands on that female. I'm just
mm-hmm.
a male shouldn't be putting their hand on the female. I stopped whipping my male children by the time they were 12.
Mm-hmm.
I had to find another way. I just did not feel comfortable hitting them anymore. For one, it emasculates them.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm not going to say I never walked up behind them and popped them in the back of their head or pulled them by their ear.
Right.
I did those things, but just, I think in some ways it has gotten out of hand, but I think...
go ahead. I'm sorry, Rhea.
What you said at first of all, no child under a certain age should have a computer in their room, in my opinion.
Right.
Okay, the computer should be in the family open area.
Mm-hmm.
I can walk past and see, we can do... they should not have... But see, then, too, they have the internet on phones. But also,
right.
You pay those bills. So you're the one who can monitor that. You
mm-hmm.
have to treat a child in accordance to... Like for my daughter, she was one that I would have put a computer in her room because
mm-hmm.
of the child she was and
mm-hmm.
because of who she was. But
right.
I cannot name one of my male children that I would have put a computer in their room.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And one of them did have a computer, but he didn't have the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be parents, and what works for one child may not work for another child. It can't
that
be
is
a cost
true.
For a thing.
Well, I have to say, Gail and Rhea, part of that, the last part, Rhea, I agree with you wholeheartedly. The first part, first of all, if my child got on the internet and did anything inappropriate, I wouldn't show her up in any kind of way on the internet. I don't think it's necessary. I think she gets showed up at home. But as far as the internet and the computers – you have to look at each child differently. I had one child my whole entire life. I had three husbands and one child. My daughter's 43 now. I had a whole different situation because I never had to spank my daughter because she was the type of child that you could scare into doing things. I didn't have to spank her. Every now and then when she got out of line, I would call her dad. He would come over and take care of the situation, but she never really got spanked by me. My brother spanked her for sneaking out of the girls' club when she was a little girl, but I never spanked her because she wasn't that type of child. But I see some stuff out here that I don't get it. I don't get it. I do not get it. I don't deal with unruly children, teenagers. I don't deal with them at all. I'm sorry. I just can't deal with them, I guess because I never had that problem. Now, I have a brother. When we were coming up, I was the rebel. I still am the rebel. I'm the one who got it. My brother is smart. He never got in trouble because he was smart. I got in trouble because I was dumb. But my mother wouldn't have put a computer in my room, but she would have put one in his because that's the kind of son he was. We were two separately different children. To this day, he's 63, I'm 62. We're still different. We're still different. I'm just me and he's him. But you have to go by the type of child you have. And I don't give a damn about social media. I could care less about them. I run my house, not the social media.
And see, my thing is, you know, like, every child is different, and what works for one may not work for another. But my thing is, these things that these children are doing, as far as the little girl who I spoke of, who was her mom, and this is how I'm just going to be blunt about what had happened. Her mother says, "What did you do?" And she sort of like was cowering down. She said, I accidentally sucked a dick. So the mother said, "What did you do?" She said, "I accidentally sucked a dick." Her mama said, how in the hell do you accidentally suck a dick? Now, that is so inappropriate. And that girl was so young. She was just a baby herself. Do you think that I would put my child out there like that? First of all, it was handled completely wrong. Even if she did that type of a thing and didn't put it on the social media, because there are ways that you approach situations like that. And hollering at that girl like that wasn't the way to do it. So, you know, I think, and then to have it on the social media, now, like I said, maybe her little friends may have seen it at school or somebody seen it or whatever, but that is just something that's not going to be lived down too quickly in that young girl's life.
And what does that say about the mother? What does that say about the mother?
Right. You're absolutely right, because she, you know, and it could have been a thing she may have seen her mother doing something like that is maybe why she did it. You see what I'm saying? So the mother, for her to put that little girl out there like that, she should have been, she needed to be disciplined. Because there's no way that I would have done that to my child, especially not in that fashion. Not
I agree.
At all.
That's the gateway to so many things coming to that young lady, to that little girl that she won't even know how to handle. You know, it's like, evidently, she wouldn't know how to handle her for them to sit back and say, "I accidentally did that."
Yeah.
That's no accident.
No.
Just like, you know, when the man say, "Well, I mistakenly cheek." Oh, so your dick mistakenly fell in that, you know. I mean, come on now. It's the same thing. It's like, come on. I just, see, one of the things that I do, part of the reason I brought up the part about the individual child, and you have to deal with that child for who that child was. I had four really, really smart children, and I was one of them who knew my children could outthink me, and a lot of it had to do with the time that they came up in, because they were exposed to a lot more things than I was exposed to. Brain power-wise, I knew they were smarter than me. I said, okay. I had to come up with creative ways of dealing with them. Now, I had one, I could have beat him to a pulp. And as he was pulverizing, his ass would have still been doing bad stuff. He just, no matter what, so it just didn't make any sense.
And
I had
that
two individual things. Well, my oldest two were really into sports. And I put them on different teams at their school and the Y. If you don't go to practice, you can't play in the games. So I threatened them with practice. It didn't really work on my oldest, but it did work on my second oldest. My daughter, people laugh every time I say this, I took her books away as her punishment. And I never forget the day she stood up and said, "What parent takes a child's books away?" I said, "Your mama." That was her thing. And I had to say such her thing.
There you go.
Little one, hell, he's 23 and I'm still trying to figure out the appropriate way to punish him. Everything got right. Nothing worked. You all, I put him in timeout and he dug in the corner and got dust and took it and built faces on his fingers with his fit. So he had the little dust bunnies or whatever on his fingers to make a mouth and make an ass. And then he found this piece of toilet paper. Don't ask me from where. Smallest little piece of toilet paper. Put it on one of the fingers like it was a headscarf. That was the female, and the other finger was the male, and he ended up having this whole conversation with these dust hang fingers. And I'm sitting there, God, what the hell have you given me? Because how can you punish him? And it was so you have to look at the child. And sometimes, okay, I put it like this. If I was raising my children in today's, right now, I have a child I would have done something with the internet with. It would have been my second child. That's my social butterfly. Do you understand what I'm saying? He would have done, he probably would have done what he did on the internet. And I wouldn't embarrass my children in a way where it's something they couldn't live down. But sometimes you have to, a child will show off for their friends. Even at the risk of dealing with your wrath. You know, because they think, okay, well, see, my friends ain't going to see it because I'm going to be at home. But see, I was one of them mamas that I snatch your ass right there in front of your friends. And based on the crowd that you was with, I may snatch a couple of them too. You know what I'm saying? And they knew that. So when I came, only one kid ever disrespected me. And that child had mental issues. And they knew it, and they just didn't know how to deal with it. You know what I'm saying? But I would have never did it to one of my other ones because their personalities were not of that nature. Sometimes you have to attack the beast with the nature of the beast, whatever it is. But it has to be something simple. Like that parent who had that child hold up that sign, "I stole candy, I was a thief," or something like that. I sat back there and I laughed about that because one of my children stole some candy out of a Jewel. And I went in their bank and got car fare because I didn't have a car. We went back to that Jewel and they had to take the candy back to the desk and tell them, "I stole this and I have to bring it back."
They thought I was crazy.
I stood right there. And when that child started walking slow, I said, "You got one or two choices," because I had that belt in my hand. I was going to wet their ass up all the way throughout that store. And they looked at me, and then the people behind the desk looked at me, and she said, "You know you can be arrested for this," and I stood right there, and they say, you know,
whatever.
I'm sitting there, and I'm talking to them, and this and the other. Guess what? I never had to deal with a child stealing out the store again. My children labeled me as crazy. It's like, when I say something, I mean it. You know what I'm saying? So it depends on the situation, and you can't do something that's going to degrade them. Because the same way you degrade them, somebody else may come behind you and degrade them.
I remember my daughter as a teenager in junior high school, and like I said, I never spanked her. She never was that kind of child. But I do remember walking past her room one time and hearing her on the phone saying, "Uh-uh, I can't do that. My mother will kill me." And I just kept on walking. I said, you know it. And what is she today? Getting ready to retire being a police officer.
Wow.
You know, I just I was lucky. I was blessed. I was blessed.
Yeah.
Because I was a humdinger. as a child. Humdinger.
Me too.
I was blessed with my daughter. I tell you, I tell anybody, I knew I was going to get it back. I knew it. But the Lord spared me. He gave me some rotten men instead. Because I didn't have no problem with no child. But, honey, I was a humdinger in my house. My father had it round and round with me. He would tell me not to do things, and I'd do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I got the switch. There was no such thing as sit in the corner. You go outside in the back of that big old tree, get that thick switch, then when you come in here, I'm going to peel it down. And when I peel it down to the bark, it's on.
Yeah.
You think that didn't hurt? That hurt.
Yep.
But I still did it.
Right, and you have these kids that will call the police on their parents when they are chastising. Now I said, if I even thought that my children would call the police on me, I would beat them just for thinking that. Because
what?
Just like I tell anybody, I brought them in this world. I fed them, nurtured them, took care of them, provided for them, and then they're going to call the police on me when I'm trying to chastise them, practically saving their lives out here for doing little dumb things, and you're going to call the police? Well, you know what? When that police come, either you're going to go and live with that police, or either that police going to be taking me out of here for killing you, one or the other.
That's right.
Because I just can't understand. And then how they pass that, those laws, like a person can't. Now, don't get it wrong. I know there are some parents who maybe abuse their children opposed to disciplining them. There is a difference, because if you're beating your child to the point where they would you beating them unconscious, punching them in the chest, and it was a thing on Facebook. This little boy could have been no more than 2 or 3 years old. And y'all may have seen the video, because they caught the guy. He punched that little boy. He slapped that little boy. He body slammed that little boy, kicked that little boy, and that was abuse. And it wasn't even his child. It was his stepchild. And the person who was filming it, and him, both of them, should have been locked up. Now, it was a little baby that was sitting on the couch next to the guy that may have been his child, but this child was his stepchild. And you could hear the little boy was just, I mean, it was just so sad the way he just kept beating and punching. And then he went and got a spatula or something and hit him in the head with that, kicking him, throwing him around and just punching him, telling him to get up. And the little boy would come up to him, then he would punch him down. And, you know, when stuff like that happens, it makes me, the things that I want to do to the people who do those things to children, ooh, they might lock me up for a million years, but you know what? I really, truly, honestly think, and I do believe, that it will come back. They will get theirs back eventually, because they have to get old. And when they get old, he never knows, that might be the child. That would be the child that would look out for him when he's too old to wipe his nasty butt, you know, or too old to get a glass of water, you know. So that kind of stuff makes me just sick. And they have those things on the internet, these parents, and it was another one on there where this was a baby who was, this baby may have been about 4 or 5 months old. Well, it was crawling. It could crawl. This Asian girl was beating this baby up, throwing it. I mean, and what can a little baby do? What can any child do to cause someone to abuse them? I mean, I know it, you can tap them on the hand or say no, no, you know, because most kids, they respond to it when you give them a certain look, because that's all I had to do for my children, give them a certain look, and they knew, you better get over there and sit down, you better do something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just beating a child for no apparent reason, and I mean beating them, and then having it all on the internet. But they did get that guy. Thank God that they did. And I hope they get that girl that was beating up that little baby. And these are not even their children. Some of them are babysitters or you know, stepchildren. And Rhea, I'm sure you remember when I had the show about where in that daycare where that little boy was beating those babies up?
Exactly.
And they knew, exactly. They knew that boy was beating them babies up.
Mm.
They knew that boy...
Another child?
What, Huh?
Another child?
Yeah, these were. He was. How old was he? He was about.
They tried to claim that he was like 9 or 10, but he actually looked probably to be about 12.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the son of one of the daycare workers. She used would bring him to work with him and with her, and he would beat up the preschool children.
Yeah,
the children that attended the preschool.
He actually dropped.
I mean, the way he would punch them. Oh my God! I couldn't even imagine that. When we were little, my brother called the police on my mom, and it was interesting, and it was also a life lesson to me. When the police came, there was a white cop and a black cop, and the white cop got real gruff really quick. The black cop put his hand out and told him, "Let me handle this." And the white cop looked at him like he crazy, and you could tell that the black cop must have been at a higher ranking than the other one, because that was the only way he probably shut him up. And he stood there, he watched, and he told me, and the cop talked to my mother, and he said, "Well, you can't whoop him, or you can't do that." And my mother said, "I can't," and he live in my house. The police say, if we have to come back out here, we're going to arrest you. She said, "Well, I tell you what, you go your motherfucking ass downstairs, you sit in your car, because you're going to get a call as soon as you live here, because I'm going to kill his mouth." She said it just like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when the police looked at her, wait a minute, the white cop turned red, y'all, because at this point he didn't know what to do, right? He even put his hand on his gun. The black cop asked that big, and he said, "Ma'am," my mother said, "get the hell out of my damn house. I done told you what to do." The cop said, "Boy, go get your clothes and put your clothes on and let's go." They took him around the block and they talked to him, right? And then they were sitting there. We saw them sitting down on the corner by our house. Well, we saw a police car down there. I didn't know if that was the same. We didn't know if that was the same car. About an hour later, cop come knocking on the door. And it was only the black cop just had the white cop stayed in the car. He said, "Ma'am, have you calmed down?" My mother said, "I was calm when I talked to you the first time."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Ma'am, you can't." And he told her again, "Ma'am, you can't." She said, "You can't tell me what the hell I'm going to do in my house. If I'm going to feed him," she said, "I bought him in this world, and I'll take his ass out. Let him down another number on my phone." The cop looked at him and told him, "Do you want to live here?" And he took him to say, "Yeah." He said, "Don't pick up that damn phone no more, hear me? Don't pick up that phone." He said, "Because we will have to take you out of here. You won't be the only one going away." And when he said, "Well, it'll take you," he said, "Do you know what the Audi home is? Because you being the age you is and being a little black boy, ain't nobody going to want to adopt you, because they probably going to put you in the Audi home." I mean, he tried talking next to me. And guess what? Tim ain't down the damn phone no more neither.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like at that point, and that was at the beginning of it, I do understand the laws, and I do understand that they're put in place because some people are going overboard. But you have to be able to discipline in your house the way you see fit.
Right, and then as long as you're not hurting them.
Yes,
right.
Absolutely. Because I'm going to tell you, I used to play softball, and I'm a short woman. I'm a fat woman, but I'm a short woman. And that don't always equal strength. But I used to play softball, and I was really good at whirling the bat. And all of my sons and stuff won. All of my children and stuff won is taller than me. The one who's not taller than me claimed he's my same height. He's not. Anyway, he's the new runner of the family. And that's the one on my page with my granddaughters, my second born. But
right.
When my boy started, but he was one of them people I call Cock Diesel. I mean, he was standing in the doorway, and his whole upper body would fill up the doorway. This is how muscular he was. He was a football player. And I'm sitting here, like, thinking to myself, you know, because when he got about 14, it's like they lose their mind. And he would talk back and this, that, and the other. I told him once, I said, "I would take this bat and beat the hell out of you." I said, "So you won't get a chance to call nobody." I said, "Because you won't be existent." Now, I had threatened them for years with that, right? I had never did it. At 14, there was an argument, He didn't like something I said, and he hollered at me.
Mm.
I ran and got my back, right? And I did. I came up in the front, and I got my back. As I came back in the room, no, I didn't. He argued at me, and I went in the room and got in his face. That's what I did. I got in his face. I got in his face, and he turned and walked away from me or something, and I popped him in the back of his head. Now, I will be honest with you. He did not hit me, but when he turned after being startled, being hit like that, he bumped me, and I fell over the arm of the chair in his room. Oh, what the hell that happened for? Because in my mind, he pushed me, but he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I ran out of there and got that bat. Next thing I know, my mother had walked in the room. She said, "You going to hit my damn daughter?" Pop! Blood was everywhere. She popped him dead in his nose. And I took that bat, and I said to myself, "Rhea, you've been selling these whoop tickets all this time. If you don't make this real, you don't set a whole playing field for what next is going to happen." And all thing I knew, he had to be an example. So I had to think right quick, where the hell could I hit him where I can't break nothing, but I can hit him hard enough where he can feel it. I cracked him on his damn thigh with that damn bat, and I told him, I said, "You ever raise your hand?" And he said, "I didn't hit you. I didn't turn around. You startled me." And he just cried. And my mother said, "Get your shit, because you got to get out of her house."
Mm-hmm.
And he looked, and I said, "He can't get none of that. I bought that." She said, "Buy him out. He can go out of here. I will not send him out of his neck. He can keep on his drawers and his shoes." My mother looked at me. "I can't take no clothes." I said, "Nothing." She said, "Strip and leave him."
Mm-hmm.
And she walked my son out of here to her car in his boxer drawers and his combat boots. I didn't have to keep my socks on.
Mm.
Guess
what? Wow.
I didn't have to do that again.
Mm-hmm.
And the other ones deemed me crazy. Because this one person said something to my daughter, and I said, "Oh, my mama crazy. You don't want to deal with my mama." And they just looked at her like when she was in high school, when a teacher did something they shouldn't have done to my daughter, well, to any of them. My daughter would tell them, "You're going to see my mother in the morning." And they just look at her like she's crazy. "Because you got a B?" She said, "I've already asked you for the paperwork to show that she's going to be up here in the morning, because she's called you twice and you have not returned her call." 7:30
mm-hmm.
in the morning, I'm sitting up there waiting for the school to open up.
Mm,
these people
know,
looking at me
right.
Like I'm crazy. The one thing I can do is my job. But
that's something I do.
With the child, you, first of all, you have to say what you mean and you have to mean what you say.
That's true.
And I had to hit that boy with that bat that day, because when he jumped up in my face like that, as strong as he was, I knew if he raised his hand and hit me, there was nothing I could have done. But
mm-hmm.
I'd be damned if you're going to do that. And I got to feed you,
mm-hmm.
and I got to close you, and you living in my house where I'm paying the rent. I tell
yep.
you what, if you that grown, you need to do like I did. You need to get out and get on your own.
There you go.
And I just,
yep.
but nowadays, I think I can look at today's children and today's society, and I say, "Thank you, Jesus."
Yep, me too.
Yeah. Thank you, man, yes. already grown. Because
yes.
It is so hard nowadays.
Yes.
You could take the best child in the world, and these children are so more abreast of manipulating their, I'm going to say, characteristics or whatever, where you could have the most precious child in the world at home, and that child is a demon seed out in the street. If you
yep.
don't know what that child is doing out there in the damn street, like
mm-hmm.
I tell these parents, I said, "You send them to school on the bus every day? When do you ever get on that bus?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever snuck up on them on that bus? Have you ever saw all your children be acting on that bus?" This lady mm-hmm. said, "How are you going to do that?" I said, "Like I used to do, get up in the morning and get dressed and put on your robe. Get them up and get them dressed. When they walk out the door going this way, you walk out the door going that way, two blocks up, get on the bus, get down under some newspaper, like you're reading the newspaper, and you can watch everything your damn child do."
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And
well, we're
going to
take a
once or twice, because my kids used to actually, I had one who would look around. That's how I knew when he was getting ready to do something he wasn't supposed to do, because he would literally look around before he did it. And that same one that I told y'all, the 28, my number two son, I woke up one day when he was 10, he was on my back. He was looking, he was digging in my head trying to find the ass in the back of my head.
Wow.
He was digging. It was the funniest. "What is this boy doing?" He's on my back. And he said, "Go back to sleep. I just want to see your ass." I didn't get it, you know. It took me a minute because he said, I saw everything. I was standing at the kitchen sink. You know how you get to know how your children, like, especially
yeah.
if you have, like, you know how they walk. You know who
yeah.
you know who you hearing coming. And it's like,
yeah.
I don't know this, and I'm not doing anything. Or either they get quiet and they're in the next room. You quiet, what the hell are you in there doing? I know
mm-hmm.
you're doing something. You know, you just know it. And if you know
yeah.
the child, you may even can kind of figure out what it is that they're doing. And he thought I had ads in the back of my head. But you have to literally outthink them, because I only had to do that twice on the bus. I ain't never have to do it again. Bus driver used to laugh. He said, hey, Banks. He said, you've been sitting right there. You know, because like man wasn't allowed to go to the back of the bus. You had to sit near the front of the bus. Because when the back of the bus got in trouble, I wanted them to get the back of the bus and not the people sitting in the front of the bus. And that's where I wanted you at. you have to, and they just don't do it. And it's just so sick. But, you know, the other side of that is the kids nowadays have too much.
Yes,
yeah.
they do.
They don't know what it is
yeah.
to want for things.
Yeah.
They get, I mean, some of these parents, even when they go graduate from eighth grade and stuff, you got them wearing tuxedos.
Mm-hmm.
You got them going to things in limousines and stuff. If you're doing all that damn for eighth grade, is this the only grade they're going to graduate from?
Mm, yep. Well, we're going to take a quick.
I don't get it.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the school system, what goes on when our children go to school. And there was a video of a girl who was in school, and her mom called herself embarrassing her. So we'll be back in a few minutes, okay?
Okay.
Hi, I'm Gail Delicious Johnson. I'm more than just a radio personality. I'm also a best-selling author of 5 published books, publisher, ghostwriter, poet, and a speaker. My latest book, a fast-paced, action-packed, drama-filled novel titled Back to Zero, is available. You can order your autographed copies of Back to Zero and any of my books from my website at www.deliciousbooks.webs.com/apps/webstore/. If you're looking to have your dreams come true in a book, look no further. I am the founder and owner of my own independent publishing company, JJ Publishing. JJ Publishing offers service to fit the new or seasoned author's budget. There are no hidden fees. I display a professional business attitude towards my client while treating them with dignity and respect. My mission is to make the first-time author as well as the seasoned author's use of JJ Publishing services a most beneficial and memorable experience. Back to Zero is selling out fast. Don't be left out. Go to my website. Again, that address is www.deliciousbooks.webs.com/APPS/WEBSTORE/. After you make your purchase, check out my website. I thank you all in advance.
Yeah.
Welcome back. That was Sparkle. I'm sorry, Cameo, Sparkle in Your Eye. And if anybody's out there listening and have a question or comment, feel free to call in. The call-in number is 646-652-2877. Hit the 1, that'll raise your hand, and I'll bring you right on in. So you can jump in on this conversation that we're having about parenting gone wild, you know, because now we're going to talk about the school, because there is a video that's on my page. I don't know if you young ladies have went there and saw it, but I don't know, and you know, like, times have changed. Yes, they have, and everybody's keeping up with the times, but that woman, I don't think that I would appreciate my mother coming up to the school looking the way this woman looked. Number one, she's videotaping her following her daughter to school. That's wrong right there. Then she, her appearance, you know, now, like I said, times have changed, people change, and people wear what they want, do what they want. But me personally, I would be a little bit more self-conscious of my appearance, as far as if I'm representing my daughter going up to her school, sitting in her classroom with her peers, you know, I'm going to go up there, I'm going to look represent, you know, and look decent. Now, this woman had a blonde wig on. She had a piercing in her eyebrow, piercing in her lip, and I forgot what she had on, but it wasn't really presentable as far as I am concerned to be going to the daughter's school. So she gets to the classroom, and she's, you know, talking to the little kids and stuff like that. Then she say, yeah, I'm up here with my daughter, blah, 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 blah. And then I'm putting this on Facebook. And that daughter's face, when she looked at her mother, she looked like she was in a world of shock. And I think maybe she had two things to be shocked for, because I'm just saying, if my mom came up to the school looking unpresentable, I'm going to feel a little bit embarrassed about her appearance, far more than I would feel embarrassed about her even being at the school, because I have went and sat in my daughter's classroom one time because of simple fact, when my daughter was little, she had a lot of energy, and she would get up and run around the classroom. So the teacher, you know, had told me that if I could come and observe her one day, and possibly after I see what goes on, and then talk to her. So they had a like, you see when you go in the police precinct and they have a glass that person, you can see out, but a person can't see you. I was behind there, and sure enough, they have a class, and all of a sudden my daughter gets up. She goes over to a little boy's desk and start talking with him. Then she goes in the back. She just was, I mean, you would have thought that she was running that class up in there. And I could not believe that she was crying on like that. And she didn't know I was in there. So at the end of the class, I came out from behind a partition. My daughter was shocked. She was so shocked. And I took her little butt to the side, and I sat down at the desk with her and the teacher, and I said what I had to say, and I told her, if I have to come back up here and see this again, you know what's going to happen, don't you? I said, don't you? And she looked at me all pitiful. Yeah, I know. I said, well, don't let the teacher call me and tell me that you did anything that you're not supposed to do in this class, because you know what you're supposed to be in here doing. You're supposed to be in here learning. I think she maybe was like in the first grade or something like that, but she was just having a ball that day, and that's what the teacher had called and told me that she was doing. And, you know, from that day on, I never got another call from the teacher, you know, but sometimes we do have to go up to the school, but go presentable. Don't go up there and with rollers in your hair, bedroom slippers on, hot pants, and, you know, all that crazy stuff, because, number one, the teachers are going to look at you, and then they're going to be talking about you. And that's not a good thing, because immediately they begin to take things out on your child. Well, she comes from that type of family, blah, 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 blah. And a lot of these parents don't realize when they do things like that, it's a bad reflection on the child, and the teacher becomes less interested in that child. Some of them do. Some of them may try to help the child, but some of them just say, well, she comes from a family like that, whatever, let her do what she want to do, and blah, 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 blah. Now, how do you ladies feel about the woman who put that on the Internet? Because I'm just thinking maybe the daughter, well, she didn't seem to be embarrassed because her mom went up to the school. She seemed to be more embarrassed when her mom said she was going to put it on Facebook. And she said this in the classroom, this going on Facebook.
Hmm.
I mean, why couldn't you
But see, the thing was, she had already done what she set out to do when she did it in that classroom. What Facebook got to do, you understand? Okay, the people that that child was clowning in front of already had already seen it because
mm-hmm.
they were the people in that classroom. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't see what would have been accomplished with putting something on Facebook when Facebook is not where she did what she did.
That's
she
true.
Did it in that classroom, so the people who witnessed it, the people who, you know, because it was, I remember when we were little, people used to talk about people had reputations, people had reps to uphold and stuff like this. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
right. So your parent came up there, or this, that, and the other, so you have, they had, she had already done it in front of those peers.
Mm-hmm.
When I talked earlier about the Facebook thing, and how I do think for certain children you would have to go that route. That's because you should go that route because that's what they was doing it at. You see what
right.
I'm saying? Like there's a Facebook a lady on Facebook that I know. Her daughter was on Facebook cursing up a storm and
mm-hmm.
talking, you know, ways that she shouldn't have been talking. And she
right.
had her hold up a sign telling her that she was on punishment and would not be on Facebook for 2 months. Because she was on there acting inappropriate and doing things that she was not supposed to be doing or something along that line. And
right, I can understand that.
I do see why that would have been the form to do it because that's the form she was doing it on. But once the bra went up there to the school, there was nothing else to – what are you putting that on Facebook for? Because now you want it to be a joke? Because you're not
going to thing is
anything bad.
But another thing is, you know, these school personnel and people at school, they look at each child. They know each child. They've been there long enough. They size them up. They give them a thing in their own minds of what kind of child this is. And I know I went to a predominantly white school. I graduated from a predominantly white school. We had 50 blacks in the whole entire school. My daughter went to the same school. Now, they had this perception before of me and my brother. Now, my daughter goes to the school. Of course, she's going to come to school looking nice, you know. They knew I lived, it wasn't my house, it was my mother's house. My mother had a gorgeous, beautiful house. Me and my daughter are staying with my mother. That ain't my house. So when I go up to the school, I'm a single mother, working mother. I go up to the school to get my daughter the lunch, you know, how they give you the reduce lunch because, yeah, of your status or what, you know, what kind of
mm-hmm.
job or what kind of money you make.
Mm-hmm.
They had the nerve to tell me, well, why would your daughter need that? You live so-and-so and so-and-so. I said, lady, first of all, how you know where I live? Second of all, that's not my house. That's my mother's house.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I am a single working mother, okay? Thank God my daughter has a father who always looked after her, always took care of her. He told me, well, I don't want her to have free lunch anyway. I'm going to give you her money. We had divorced by then, but he was always with her. He said, I'm going to come by and make sure she has her lunch money every week. He would come by and put it in the mailbox on Fridays. But the point is they make assumptions about children. Now, if they make an assumption about children, you don't think they're going to make an assumption about the parents too?
Exactly.
If that mama came up there looking like that, what kind of assumption do you think they made?
Yep. Yep. And I think it's horrible. And then they had, I saw on there where this parent was in the classroom, and this boy was a nice sized boy. He was kind of thick, and he looked to be maybe 14, I say he was maybe 13 or 14. He was bigger than the mother, you know, but he was young. And she went in the classroom and was fighting him in the classroom.
Ooh.
Now, I really don't think that's too appropriate either because,
no.
and it was on Facebook, but if you're going to discipline your child to the point of putting your hands on him, don't do it in the classroom. Don't do that, because that will only make, especially the fact that he can't fight his mother back. So that's going to make the other kids, you know, they may say, well, man, she wouldn't have did that to me, you know. So then he turns out and he becomes a bully. And you can't understand why your child is bullying people, because you bullied him.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Then he'll start bullying women and girls.
Right. So, you know, it's things that these parents need to get a handle on and stop going up to these schools thinking they're doing the right thing, because everything that you do to your child in the school is not necessarily right. You don't go up to the school and fight your child.
Mm-mm.
And you don't go up to the school looking like
how cruel children can be. That child will be labeled and everything else for next to forever. And for all we could know, that boy may have turned into a bully after being picked on.
Mm-hmm.
He realized he had that size on him. Oh, you going to keep picking on me like that? And then he started, quote-unquote, fighting back, and then he went too far. Because sometimes bullies are cowards.
Yes.
Bullies are doing...
Yeah.
You have a lot of bullies who do to other people that are smaller than them what somebody is doing to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't know, because I'm not saying it was, but that could have been part of the reason that he ended up turning into a bully, not justifying him being a bully, because Lord knows I despise him.
Right.
But you have to be cognitive of that. We as women, since so many women are single mothers, and contrary to what society says as a whole, it ain't their fault. It's these trifling-ass men's fault, and I will stand by that for forever. But anyway, since so many women are single mothers, you have to be cognitive of the fact, especially if you're raising these black males, you have to be cognitive of the fact that you can't emasculate him like that.
Right.
Because you emasculate him now, He may do something similar to somebody else. You have some men out here who put their hands on women because of the way that they were raised. You have, you know what I'm saying? You have, we've all seen it on TV when those serial killers start killing all those people who look just like their mama.
Yeah.
It's like, and I'm laughing at it, but it's not funny. I don't know what made me just laugh at it, because they dress them up and they have them looking just like their mama. Because that was one on CSI. He even put it in his mother's dresses that were out of
storage. Yeah, like Psycho. Yeah.
Exactly. And sometimes that comes from the things that those women have done to them. There was a story on TV that was a real life case where they were looking for a serial killer, and he would, every woman was like dressed like a prostitute. And it was the lipstick that what caught him, which was similar to that CSI story, because the lipstick that he was putting on those women was from his mother's storage, the makeup in his mother's storage bin, and because of the way the lipstick was made, they knew that it was lipstick that was like 20-some years old or something, and so they were able to trace certain things back, because the dresses that they were designer dresses, but they were designer dresses from the 70s, and then the lipstick was from the 70s and stuff like that. But this guy was doing that, and part of the reason that he did that, I don't know what this story was on, I don't think it was 48 Hours or one of them kind of shows, but it was one of those true stories. His mother had been a prostitute, and they were living in a, I guess, a one-bedroom place, and the bedroom was technically his room, except when she brought John's over. So there was time, because he had to stay out of sight. So sometimes he would jump under the bed. So he's under the bed as she's servicing her John in that room, right? And he would see certain things, and he would hear certain things, and he started treating women the way his mother had been being treated in their room and stuff like that. That kind of stuff to me is so scary.
Yeah.
And so we have to be cognitive when we're raising these black males, that we don't emasculate them in the process of doing such. And I know that was one thing that was very, very strong on my heart, because in my family, it was the females who had the strength.
Mm-hmm.
My mother, me, my sisters. The men in my family are trifling as hell. So, and it stopped with my son. But my father, their father, and those were the men that they, you know, saw around them all the time, and their uncles. And so it was one of those things where I made sure, I made a statement to my mother, and it wasn't to insult her, but I meant what I said. I'm not coddling my son and raising my daughters. I'm raising all four of mine. And they will never be able to say that they could not stand up and be a man because of the way that their mother raised them. And to this day, when I asked my 28-year-old, because I asked him it again last year, because I think the last time I asked him was when he was in high school, I said, give me one word to describe me. And to this day, he still says the same word, tough. And I'm like, you know what? That ain't the word I want
my
to
daughter.
Say. I said, because you know my next thing, tough in what way? And he wouldn't say. He would not say in which way. But my mother said something right before she had her double stroke that later on we found a note that she wrote to the same son I'm talking about that reiterated what I just said and what he said. And he felt I was too tough on them. His tough was not a nice tough. You know what I'm saying? His tough, when he called me tough, it was not a compliment. It was not being a strong, you know, fearful mother, fearless mother, this, that, and the other. His tough was negative in all connotations. Him and my mother had had a conversation. My mother took some post-it notes and wrote him a note after she helped him out of a situation that they didn't tell me about until he was a grown man, that I had no idea about this. And she talked to him through this note. And it was something she had already verbally said to him, but she wrote it down anyway. And when she died, we found it in her papers. And it was to him, a note to him. To this day, he had those post-it notes in a photo album that he's keeping in one of his prized possessions. And it was a statement to him about me and the reason I have to be the way that I am. So she was trying to explain to him how I had to be certain ways and I could not back down and I had to be this and I had to be that. And I'm like, ain't this nothing? You know what I'm saying? But I've asked each of them to describe me just so I could get a feel for what they thought of me. And even to this day, that 28-year-old says the same thing. And I think we as parents, we have to, it is mandatory for us to set examples. I think people that have children forget what it was when they were children or whatever. And it's, you know that old do as I say, not as I do? That's crap. That don't work.
You don't.
That don't work. You have
to. No, you have to set an example.
You have to. It's not, the words you say go right past. It's the actions that they see. And that's why I made the statement, you have to say what you mean and you have to mean what you say. Because kids will hold you to that here I go again, that same 28-year-old, but you say it. Do you know I banned him for saying that in my household, period?
I know I hate that sentence. My husband said that to me. But you said, ooh, I hate that.
Let me tell you, he was one of them. Y'all, like I said, he is 28 years old, and I swear to this day, he will say, that's not fair, he would look at a paper, like he read in the back of a receipt or something. This says I have 30 days. That's that same but you said. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm,
and he was always there, and he would hold you. But guess what? You can't hold him to what he say, but he would try to hold you to every little thing you say. And I had to tell him, we're going to do the exact thing. We're going to go this exact route, you know, because I can give as good as I get. You know, and we went the exact route for about 2 years, and he couldn't stand it. He could not stand it. But we have to set the examples, and what the particular woman did in that video was, it's almost like she set out to embarrass that child.
Right.
And
well, you know, I often think, you know, I'm a little bitty person. I'm like 105 pounds, little bitty thing. And my daughter is like eight. Yeah. My daughter is like 5'10", 11", 160, 70, I don't want to say how many pounds. But
okay.
She's a big girl, but she's not fat, but she took up her dad's side. But the thing I'm trying to, the point I'm trying to make is, if you look at her and you look at me, you think she's the mother and I'm the daughter. So every now and then, I have to reiterate who I am. And I'm not impressed by the 9 millimeter Glock. I'm not impressed by that. You know, every now and then she can say some things. I had a thing with her last year. I had to get her straight about her texting me, talking about, hey, so-and-so and so-and-so. I had told, seen one of her old high school girlfriends that she doesn't really hang around anymore because they don't do the things that she does. But anyway, I was telling the girl that she lived, still lived in the same area, but I didn't tell the girl where she lived on the street. She texted me on my phone, told me, hey, don't be telling nobody where I live. I said, no, she didn't text me and say, hey. I said, oh, no, honey. It was a Sunday morning. I'll never forget. It was 8 o'clock in the morning. She was on her way to church. I said, let me tell you something. You don't hate me. First of all, you say ma or mom or whatever. Don't you ever hate me. I don't care who you are, who you work for, what you do. I'm your mama. You don't hate me. Okay? That's just the way it goes. I don't care how old you get. I don't care how little I am. I don't care how big you are. Respect is number one to me.
Yeah.
And I know she didn't mean it, and she's very sensitive, and so am I. She's very sensitive. She'll cry at the drop of a hat. It took her a half an hour, and she got back to me, and she apologized. I know she thought about that whole 30 minutes because I laid her out. Don't you ever hate me. I am not a horse. But my thing is respect. I'm your mother. I am not one of your colleagues. I am not one of your friends. I am not one of this. You don't hate me, and you don't tell me what I can and cannot do. I'm smart enough to know not to give people where you live. But, oh, honey, she was in her thing that day. I took her ass down a notch, excuse me. But, you know, a beautiful child, just a beautiful child. I'm blessed to have her. I'm so glad that I don't have to raise a child today. I am so glad because I think I'd be in jail.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
I agree with you that, Terry, because I just sit back and look at some of these kids nowadays, and this one particular day I was on the bus. I'm in a route of two high schools. The direct route of two high schools and the indirect route of one. And so I see a lot of them on the bus. Just one particular day, this girl was getting on every last nerve I have, and I don't think I had too many when I got on the bus in the first place. And I'm sitting there. I put my ear buzz in my ear, and I cut my music up probably almost, it was too loud in my ears because I was trying to drown her out. And see, finally, it wasn't working. So I just cut him down, and I was sitting there trying to read my book, and I shook my head. And the man across from me said, why are you just shaking your head? Why don't you say something to her? I said, because it would not actually mean anything. You have to pick your battles. And that particular young lady, her whole point was being seen on that bus. She was trying to get somebody's attention to see her. Well, she was doing whatever she was going to do. So me saying something with her wouldn't have done any good. I sat back, and he said, well, that's the thing that's wrong with these kids nowadays. The adults don't step in and do like they supposed to do. You can't do that to children of nowadays unless you know what child you're dealing with, because you will open up a can and have the whole wrath of something coming down on you that you don't. You know, one, like, okay, there's two families on my block. I'm not neighborly. I mind my own business, but I've seen these families, right? If it had been one of the children from those two families out of all these families on this block, I would have said something. And I could have simply said, you know your mama, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And that would have, you see what I'm saying? But it would have had to be one of them too. An arbitrary kid, I don't know. I'm not going, no, because next thing you know, me and that, I'd be whooping that kid's ass, and that kid don't belong to me, and I'd be going to jail. You know what I'm saying? Because you just can't do that nowadays. But I just sit back and I look at some of them, and she kept on clowning and kept on clowning. And she was getting off the bus. She knocked my book out of my hand.
No, she didn't.
She knocked my book out of my hand. Now, she didn't do it on purpose. I don't even know if she realized she did it. Her friend picked it up and said, she didn't do that on purpose. She, because her friend had saw me looking at her and like, really? You know, and then I had to stop myself. It's like, stop real. You know, in this case, you need to mind your own business. And so then her friend was handing me the book back, and then her friend tapped on her shoulder and said, you knocked her book out of her hand. You need to say excuse me. She turned around and said, I ain't saying, and I was standing there looking at her, giving her that damn head look. She said, I didn't know I knocked your book out of your hand, excuse me. And when she got off the bus, now you know how she had already turned around. She stopped it dead in her tracks. And it was only better look I was giving her. You're not impressing me with all these antics.
Mm-hmm.
You're not, you know, you want to be seen. Maybe it's some little boy in the back of the bus whose attention you were trying to get. But I'm not the one.
I ain't the one.
You know what I'm saying? I think when they look at my face sometimes, they see, quote, unquote, that I'm an older lady, but that I may be one of them old school parents.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sit back and I just look and I'm like, wow. And all I could say is, if I knew anything about her, because I know where she gets on the bus. I've never seen nobody get on the bus with her. Anything. If I knew anything about her, I would just put a book. You need to see how your child acts on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's. I will pop up at my children's school unannounced and look in their classroom. One time I saw one of my children dancing on the desk, y'all.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Yes, I did. And I don't know what was wrong with that teacher. Actually, I think she was drunk because later on I found out she was a heavy drinker.
Wow.
She was sitting up in the front of the classroom like she was asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And she may have been in a drunken stupor because, like I said, later on I found out she was an alcoholic and that they had issues. That's actually what ended up making her be let go back to school. My child, you know, was, I guess, putting on a show, and he was dancing on the desk.
Wow.
I'm peeping in the classroom watching him. And and they all kind of trying to giggle softly without getting too loud, and he just clowning this. I opened that door, stepped in that door. Y'all, I saw the funniest thing, and I couldn't crack a smile. He was trying to get off that desk too fast. He did a split.
Mm. Wow.
And I'm sitting here like, did he hurt himself? I know he hurt his little ping-ping because he did a split coming off of that desk.
Wow.
Trying to get down so fast, and he looked at me, and I looked at him. Do you know when he got out of school, he went to my mother's house for my mother to bring him home because he thought she was going to save him? And it was so interesting because me and my mother had bumped heads on how you raise your children. And I just politely told her, this is how a man will be raised. Either you will be a participant in it or you won't. I didn't give her any option. When she came in, my mother said, why did he come to my house for me to bring him home? And I looked at him. I said, tell your grandma why you came to her house. He said, I said, now you're gonna compound it with a lie? He said, Mama came up to the school today and saw me dancing on the desk.
Mm.
He got two whipped that night. My mama tore him up.
Are you a mess, Rhea?
Then I tore him up, and the only reason I did it, because I had to do the mama thing, but y'all, look, my mama's whooping was worse than mine. I actually felt kind of sorry for her. And she looked at him, and she looked at me. She said, he won't be coming to my house when he does something wrong again. And I said, yes, ma'am, have a good evening. But nowadays, I sit, like I said, I'm on the bus with him in the morning. The two schools I mentioned were high schools, but I'm also on the bus with two grammar schools.
Mm-hmm.
And so I see children from all ages. And I just sit back and I look at it sometimes, and it's like, you know, and I see the only thing I've ever intervened on was there's this one child who was struggling, and he was being picked on, and he was not going to be picked on that bus. I act like I was his auntie. And I said, baby, come over here and sit right next to me. We ain't seen each other in a while anyway. Let's sit here and talk.
Mm-hmm.
And they left him alone after then. But I wouldn't want to be raising children nowadays. It would drive me crazy.
No, can't do it.
It's just too much.
It would drive me crazy.
Like you had mentioned, because I remember back in the day, my aunt, she would beat any child in the neighborhood. And then, you know, the parents would come and say something, and they would beat their child, too, because they was wrong. But you cannot put your hands on somebody else's child without getting shot, stabbed, beat up, cursed out, because it takes a village. It actually takes a village to raise a child. And where I come from, every parent was looking out for every child in that neighborhood. Trust me, if you was on the other side of the street doing something you ain't had no business doing, that parent would come out there and say something to you, then call your mother. You go home. That's how it was. You say something to a child now, not only will the parent curse you out, the child will curse you out, and that's
right, and
that
their
right
friends
there
will
in
curse
itself
you out.
Is terrible.
Exactly.
Their friends will curse you out.
Yes. So there's no, respect.
Yes,
there's
had
no
to
more
block
respect.
A young cousin of mine on Facebook. She's 20, 21 years old. The nastiest mouth you ever want to see. I commented in one of her comments, her friend going to get on there, and she don't know me from Adam. Oh, honey, she was just up and down. I said, you know what? Both of y'all, goodbye, and block the hell out of them.
See,
you know,
and
that
and
don't make
whole,
no sense.
Right, because there's no respect for the elders.
Mm-hmm.
There's no respect for parents.
Mm-hmm.
The children are
mm-hmm.
just wild and crazy.
Mm-mm.
They just took
mm-mm.
over. And, you know, some parents need to get a hold of their children. It starts from their from the womb to the tomb. And if
that's
you bring
right.
your child up in a way that they that's a good way from the beginning instead of waiting until they're 12 and 13 years old
mm-hmm.
and you're trying to figure out,
too
where
late.
Did I go wrong? You never
mm-hmm.
disciplined them. You thought everything they did was cute when they was cussing and
mm-hmm.
fighting and spitting on
mm-hmm.
you. You thought that was cute, but when they got older and they started beating you up, spitting on you, cursing you out,
mm-hmm.
you couldn't understand why they're doing that because
mm-hmm.
you thought it was so
exactly.
cute. Those things mm-hmm. are not cute.
No,
so
they're
if
not.
You think it's cute for your child to curse you out, spit on you, pull your hair, and you're afraid to go to sleep because your six-year-old may come in there and kill you, then you have a serious problem.
Oh,
you have a serious problem.
And it ain't going to get no better neither.
No, it's not because they've already gone through the formative years right there, and that's just how they're going to be. So parents, let me say this. Get a hold of your children from their youth and start teaching them the right way to go, things teach them, please, thank you, no, ma'am, yes, ma'am, and, you know, the proper things that children are not doing these days. We used to have to always say thank you, sir, ma'am,
mm-hmm.
call, you know, the people, Mr., Mrs.,
mm-hmm.
please, thank
mm-hmm.
you, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Those words are just foreign in some of these children's mouths today. You don't hear it. They
listen,
bump into you, and then they look at you like
uncles.
You stupid.
Right. There wasn't no first name aunts and uncles when I was coming up.
Right.
We had to say Uncle So-and-so and Aunt
right.
So-and-so.
Right,
honey, these
right.
kids that day, they call their aunts and stuff Brenda, Linda. Uh-uh.
Yep.
No. That's
yep.
not respect.
They have no
that is
the
not
respect.
Respect
has gone out the door. And you have to blame the teacher. And when I say the teacher, I mean parents. You know, the ones who are bringing these children up, because they are responsible. They are responsible to make these children the model citizens that they should be, respectful,
right.
You know, contributing something to society, and
right.
just be good people all over. And when they don't
mm-hmm.
do that in their youth, then they're going to have problems when they get older. You're gonna,
right.
You don't expect your child, you're not chastising your child when they're young. You wait till they
mm-hmm.
get 13 or 14, and you're telling your daughter to come in, and she's hanging out, just like on Scared Straight. Some
mm-hmm.
of those children, 13, 14 years old, having sex, smoking cigarettes,
mm-hmm.
smoking. I get high every day. I smoke a blunt 4 or 5 times a day. I steal,
mm-hmm.
I rob, I beat up my teacher.
And
I do this,
okay.
I do that. And the parents are scared to death. Oh, my God.
Don't even go there.
The thought of my children, if I even thought they was going to raise their hand at me, Lord have mercy.
Mm.
The police would take me to jail because I cut their hands off.
Yes, ma'am.
You know. and being afraid of your child, what kind of mess is that? I wish
yes,
I,
ma'am.
Mm-mm. No, my child ain't going to put no fear in me. Mm-mm. None whatsoever.
Ever.
I would jack them up today.
I'm sorry,
my
but that's the way it
was
goes.
A bedridden invalid, basically. And she would give me a look.
My mother.
And
too.
I would say, I said, okay, I stopped. Or I changed
mm-hmm.
my mind. And my daughter would look and she said, so you better leave me alone because my grandmother don't play that. And I look at her and I tell her, you know who you got to go home with.
mm-hmm.
You know, but my daughter would see that right then, my mother couldn't even get out the bed. My mother was bedridden. And, hey, she had had no stroke,
it's
so she really couldn't move. But my mm-hmm. mother looked at my, and that was all it took. And
yes.
My mother it's ingrained in you. It's
mm-hmm.
the way you were brought up. I had
mm-hmm.
somebody who told me because I was Miss Banks, and I worked for an organization that had members. They wanted to call me by my first name. You're not my friend. I do believe in
mm-hmm.
propriety.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
no. So one of the presidents, national presidents, had come in and we had a meeting. She said, "Do your kids say yes, ma'am? Yes, sir." I said, "Yes, ma'am." And she said, "Okay." And she left
mm-hmm.
it at that. Never bothered me again. I'm not their friend. I don't
mm-hmm.
need
yep.
these people in college
mm-hmm.
that ain't too much older than my own children
mm-hmm.
talk to me like I'm your buddy and this, that, and the other. Because, see, right now I'm here to do a business for you all.
Mm-hmm.
But, see, in their eyes, I was doing that because I wasn't a member. It had nothing
mm-hmm.
to do with a member. It had something to do with respect.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to do a business. I have to keep that business line drawn. And they just, it's a time and place for everything. Just like, now, the flip side of the coin of what we were just talking about, when we're talking about the children and teaching them respect, the adults also have to give it.
That's true.
It is gone. The days gone bad when I came up in. Children were meant to be seen and not heard.
Right.
Yep.
Or children were meant
yep.
to, you know.
Those days are definitely gone.
I grew up in the do as I say, not as I do era.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? That's over with. That don't work no
mm-hmm.
more. Okay? So society, in so many ways, we live in an anti-child society.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, They don't want kids to be kids. They don't want, you know, they're not zombies. And it
mm-hmm.
kills me the number of kids out here in certain areas, especially, that's taking Ritalin and all these kind of things.
Yeah.
Let that damn child be a child when he's supposed to.
Yep, and it's not necessary.
Bring them up with that discipline. You ain't got to
stop taking
them
off that
Ritalin
sugar.
And turn them into a damn zombie
yeah.
when they're 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and that creates
like that.
Problems as well, putting them on those
exactly.
medications when they're young like that.
Exactly.
So, you know, that's
at one point it seemed like that was the answer to almost everything. Every
mm-hmm.
time
that's because they
out.
Didn't want to
oh.
take the time out to discipline
exactly.
their children in the
exactly.
right way. They didn't want to take the time out to find out what was bugging their children because sometimes
exactly.
children, all they need is a hug and for you to tell them that I love you and I'm here for you.
Right.
When they don't hear those things, you don't, you know, because everybody needs a touch. You're not
you
hugging
hug.
Your child. You're not telling your child you love them. They're going to be resentful of that. Then that's
it's
when
gonna come out
little
in another
girl turn into a hoe.
Yeah.
That's when your son turns into a hoe, and they're just looking for that love. You see what I'm saying? So
mm-hmm.
hug your children, love your children, keep your children
yes.
close to you, bring your children
yes.
up in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stop letting
mm-hmm.
your children take care of themselves and stop giving
mm-hmm.
them these games and all these old kind of things,
mm-hmm.
letting them babysit for you. Take care
mm-hmm.
of your
exactly.
own children. Our children
mm-hmm.
are gifts. They are loaned to us.
Right.
Our children are gifts that were loaned to us. God
mm-hmm.
loaned our children to us. You see what I'm saying?
That's right.
So if you treat a gift any kind of way, you have one person to answer to for that. When you abuse your
That's
child,
right.
kill your child, treat your child like dirt, you got to
mm-hmm.
answer for that.
That's
exactly.
right.
You know, and there's nothing wrong with spanking your child or beating your child, but when you abuse them, that's a whole different other program. Because
right,
it says,
right.
spare the rod, spoil the child.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
you know, my children, they got the brakes beat off of them, okay? But they're not dead. I wasn't killing them. I was disciplining them and doing what
mm-hmm.
I had to do to keep them in line. And
there you go.
That's that. And I had the brakes
mm-hmm.
beat off of me as well, so I'm not dead. You know, I think I turned out pretty good. You know, but sometimes you just have to do those things, because some children, they don't even merit beads. You can look at a child and tell them something.
Yes.
Like my great-grandbaby, all I have to do is say to him, I'm going to make a phone call. He straightens up like a soldier. You hear me?
Mm-hmm.
I have not spanked that child since he has been in this world, trained into the pot, you know, had him here just having these grown conversations. And I've never had to spank him. All I have to do is say, I'll make a phone call. No, Nana, I'm not going to do it no more. No, Nana. That's all I had to say to him, is just say that. And he was straightened up.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, children don't necessarily, some of them don't necessarily merit getting beaten, but some of them do.
Right.
Some of them really do. Because
right.
I can say,
I
honestly merit getting beaten when I was growing
Me
up, because I know the things that I was doing. I shouldn't
Me
have been
too.
Doing them. You know, so I got the consequences. And
I
that
did
was
amazed
I get that
my father
switch.
Spanked me. I just made him spank me, you know.
Yeah,
no
get that extension
just,
cord.
You,
so I know.
Anyway.
You know, so I'm not going to sit up and say I was the best child, I was
mm-hmm.
an angel, this and that.
Mm-hmm.
No, because I was not. I
mm-hmm.
had my problems.
Me
and my mom went through hell at times. But, you know, that's just how it was. But
yeah,
I'm very grateful and thankful that my mom did do the things that she did, because looking on hindsight, if my mother wasn't attentive to me and did some of the things that she did to me, I may have been one of those girls out there on the corner, or one of those girls being with the wrong man, you know, just doing all kind of crazy things. So I do love you, Mom, for that. But we're at the end of the show, and I just want to let everybody know that Bringing Sexy Back is for the mature listening audience, and our subject matter is sexual, but not limited to other social topics. We discuss relationships, current events, and issues relevant to everyday life. We appreciate you, our listening audience, for your questions and comments. And if you have a topic you'd like for us to discuss or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to me. That's gjdelicious37@gmail.com or to RhaaAlexis@yahoo.com. That's RhaaAlexis@yahoo.com. And put in the subject line, type topic or guest. And we're here every Wednesday from 10:30 p.m. for an hour to a half, an hour, 2 hours, you know, depending on the topic. Sometimes it gets juicy and we'd be here for 2 hours and a few minutes. But, you know, that happens every Wednesday. So and make sure you tune in every Friday at 11 p.m. That's beginning in January. We're going to bring back Open Topic Fridays. And the end of the month is my musical show, where I do slow jams or house music or happy hour, playing music from the 50s on up. And on Sunday, y'all know you got
to
stop by Gail's Blues Joint for some blues and sassy music. Yes, ma'am, where we have the Back to Zero Martini over there, free food, free admission. We just have a ball over there every Sunday at 7 p.m. And always remember, bringing sexy back does not mean you lost your sexy. Bringing sexy back is just a state of mind and how you perceive yourself. Thank you, Rhea, my co-host, and thank you, Terry, for being my guest co-host. I love you girls both for being here with me
thank
every Wednesday.
Thank you for asking me back. I enjoyed myself.
Oh, no
Good night,
doubt.
Rhea.
No doubt. And I'd like to thank everybody out there who's listening tonight, and the chat room, no one showed up, but I know someone was out there listening. So with that being said, good night, everybody. Stay sexy.
Good night.
Smooches.
Good night.
Good night.
My Nana got the best radio show on the internet.